Hello and welcome to this Aldworth Philharmonic Orchestra podcast, a programme note in podcast form. I'm Andrew Taylor, APO's Music Director, and we're recording today at the Music Pickup and Familiarisation Session for our Music of Desire concert, which takes place on Saturday the 2nd of February 2019 at the University of Reading Great Hall on London Road. Today's the first time players get a chance to see their parts, listen to the music, and think about the challenges ahead. Of course, we can't listen to one of the pieces in the programme, as it's never been played before. I'm talking about the latest APO commission, which will receive its world premiere at Music of Desire. It's called Samara, and its composer is Laura Shipsey, who I'm delighted is here today to talk about her work. So tell us about Samara and how it fits in with Music of Desire.
So I spent a long time thinking about what desire really meant, and like pairs of things, and the idea of desire being not actually the thing of what love is, but the wanting something. And actually that doesn't have to apply to love, that can apply to anything. And you can have a want to do something which you can't, which is impossible. You know, there's no limits to what you can do. So then I was thinking about flying, because that's what I always wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah. And it was that time of year where all seeds were falling off the trees, and I saw a... Samara is the technical name for the seeds that come off sycamore trees. And they're helicopter seeds. Yes. And actually, in the end, I don't know if you'll hear that in the music at all, but it's kind of there because for me that was the starting point and that's where the whole thing came from. So it's kind of about the idea of two things which are joined at one point, but they can't ever completely be together, and their paths are really linked. So there's a lot of parallel motion and circling, and also being a bit out of control. So a seed is like, you know, you throw it in the air and you're always wishing yours will be the last one to fall, and it will just carry on going and get carried away. There is not really control in that situation.
It seems very akin to the last piece in the programme, the Tristan and Isolde, you know, two seemingly inseparable entities, but forever separated by circumstance, their lack of control they have over their own destiny and so on. So that
was also because you told me the programme.
Yes.
So it was listening to this whole programme and thinking, this is already huge, and there's so much massive, lush music about that side of it, so how can I find a pocket which is not already covered in the other pieces?
Brilliant.
And that's where I got to.
Well, it's obviously our job to realise your vision, and you've been a member of APO for a number of years, mainly as a violinist, but with a guest appearance in the percussion section, which I know you'll remember forever. has that influenced the compositional process for Samara?
Yes, in good and terrifying ways. Because I actually always prefer writing for musicians that I know, and often that if you're writing a smaller piece, that can really take the form of working directly with someone from the very beginning and having the idea and not having a piece yet. But obviously with an orchestra, you can't really do that because there's too many people involved, and at some point you have to give the control over to the conductor. So that was a different thing. And also, you know, I know how good you are and how well you take something which you don't know. And I've been on the other side and working in commissions, and think I had a level of trust for you that I wouldn't necessarily have had for an orchestra that I didn't know.
Oh, goodness. I'm really feeling nervous now. I have to say, one of the joys of working with living composers is that you can talk to them throughout the rehearsal process. How will you approach working with me? I mean, you said that you have to cede some control to me, but...
However you want me to. Because, no, I mean that, because I think in the end, it's not just my piece. Like, I've made the piece, and the piece exists, and the piece is wherever anyone else chooses to go with it. It has to be... A piece of music is not the score that you've got on paper there, it's what the final result is. So, I'm happy to be there and answer every single question, or to not be there and just come and see where you've got to.
Oh, we definitely like you there as much as possible. The Music of Desire programme, it ends with a piece that kind of revolutionised harmony in Wagner's Tristan and Isolde, and starts with one that revolutionised it further, which is Debussy's Prelude à l'après-midi d'un faune. What influences your harmonic language as a composer?
I'm still working that out, and I think with every piece it's different, which is an exciting thing because it means every time you can make new decisions. The exciting thing about an orchestra is you have so many different colours. If you try and do something that complicated with less colour, it's quite difficult to differentiate all the different bits. But with an orchestra, I think you can get away with blurring stuff more because you can hear more layers in an orchestra.
That's really interesting, because I was at a concert the other day, and work was being premiered by Dobrinka Tabakova, and she was saying one of the challenges of composing for orchestra is literally that you have so many colours to play with, such a palette to use. it can be slightly overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So it can be also be very overwhelming, as you mentioned earlier, for players, especially in a non-pro orchestra, to open a page that nobody's ever played before and take that great leap into the unknown. Do you have any advice for them as they go away to prepare for rehearsals, apart from just practice lots?
It's kind of a jigsaw and all the bits really fit together and it's quite intricate. So I think if I was playing it, I might look at my part and not really know like where things fitted together. So I think you just have to trust it. As a whole, I'm really pleased with it. But I can completely see that if you look at one part, which is one part of about 60, it looks a lot more sporadic.
Well, I can't wait to get going on it, and I've trained myself by now to take that deep breath when in a first rehearsal of any piece, just to keep the faith that it will get there. And I think that's especially so with the commission, because you just have no frame of reference. But it's always tremendously exciting, and I look forward to listening back to our discussion on February the 3rd, the day after our triumphant premiere. So thank you, Laura, for speaking to us today.